You know how to have the prettiest voice. You know how to have where you can carry the best tune. But thank God he's given us a song in our hearts. We can open her up. Sing for the glory of God, can't we? Sure can. Hallelujah. See if we got, I guess I got that thing, yes, on. 8th chapter of the book of Romans. I won't take time, but I'd love to read the whole chapter. Read it when you get home. I'll look at some of it. I do want to read verse number 1. I'm going to read verse number 28. Then some of the last verses. Verse number 21 said that therefore now, no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not out of the flesh, but out of the Spirit. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse number 39, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Then we'll go to some other verses in a moment. But I want to thank God. This chapter starts off with no condemnation, them that are in Christ Jesus. And it winds up a little further in the middle of the way of the chapter. It says all things work together for good of them that love God, and they're called according to his purpose. In the last verse in this chapter says, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, as like I said a week or two ago, our love may get cold and wane toward him sometimes, and it does. But may God fire it up. I'll tell you, ain't nothing to fire it up like the very fact of knowing that God loves us in spite of us. Amen. And so you think about it, and there's nothing can separate us from the love of God. Why, there's one verse in it that says, I'll go ahead and read it now. Hallelujah. It says, I'll find it in a minute. Neither death, I may just have to quote it to you. It's in here somewhere. Neither death nor life. What verse is that? 38. Okay, I backed up too far. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels or principalities, nor powers, for things present nor things to come. That's what it is. Nothing but he persuaded all these things couldn't separate us from the love of God. Did you notice he put death before life? I've quoted that wrong a lot of times. Neither life nor death. But y'all got to think about, you know, life sometimes difficult. But you know what reason? I believe you said death ain't going to separate us from the love of God. Do you know what it's going to do? It's going to take us into his presence. You think about that. How's that going to separate us from his love? Ain't. Not. Can't. Hallelujah. Would you pray with us? Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy you've shown us. We thank you for the opportunity of being able to come together here with your children this morning. And we come to the throne room of grace now to obtain mercy and grace to help us. Father, we know without you we can not even stand up here. But God, we need your words, we need your wisdom, we need your knowledge. We need you to speak to us and through us. Our Father, because we're just weak. And our Father, because you're the only one that matters. I pray that you'd speak to all of our hearts this morning through your eternal word. Give us grace, give us comfort, give us conviction, our Father, and I pray that you give us conversions this morning. Oh, Lamb of God, do it for Jesus' sake and for his glory and his honor. God, we do ask it in the sweet name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. But I'm going to tell you this. A lot of people said, well, I'm not worried about condemnation. I'm living a pretty good life. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says. It said if we already condemned, if we don't believe. Condemned already, if we hadn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you notice in these passages of scriptures, you'll notice that all this love that God has for us. And he said, who can separate us from the love of God? Who can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? And that's the reason that's all in him. Now, you know what I got to thinking about? I got to meditating upon this, that God loves us. He loves us like, listen, he loves his own son. He loves us, and the love that he said cannot be separated from us is because of the love that he has for us, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got to think about one of them over in the book of Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter. You know, little Philip. And he was out in the wilderness and preaching. And he got in a chat with somebody. And he said to him, he said, I don't understand what he's preaching. I don't understand what I'm reading. I don't understand it. He took the same scripture in the book of Isaiah and he expounded it and he preached to him, Jesus. He said, the lamb was led before the slaughter. And so do we realize he was preaching to him and he preached unto him, Jesus. He got down to a watering hole and said, what does hinder me to be baptized? You know why? He got a hold of what God was saying. He knew that God loved him. Listen, I'll tell you something. God does and he will. He always has and he's going to do it. He's not a temporary love. It's not just a little bit, but it's a lot. Thank God it's amazing what God can do and will do. But he said in this passage of scripture, all these things that you hear, read, we'll read, look at some of them, all these things in this is Romans 8, he said all these things working together for our good. Now you may not realize some of these things are working for your good. It may be sorrow. It may be heartaches. But I'm going to tell you something. God said it working for your good. It will work out for good. If you love God and you've been called according to his purpose, God's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. As sure as everything he has. That's why he said in the book of James, we ought not to say that we're going to go do this, that tomorrow. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this and we will do that, Lord willing, because God's got a plan and a purpose for you and your life. You're not here. Listen, somebody said, yo, I'm just here by accident. No, you're not. No, sir. God's got a purpose and a plan particular for you. And God wants to use you in this dark hour that we're living in. And therefore he will. He will by the grace of God. But he said, condemnation. I'm going to tell you, that's an awful thing to be condemned. Be judged and condemned not by a judge of this land, not by a high school court, Supreme Court, not by a county judge, but be condemned by the judge of the old earth and the whole world, and realize that condemnation is upon everyone outside of Christ. I don't know any plainer way to put it. Outside of Christ, condemnation is upon you. You can't get good enough. God's too holy. I couldn't get, can't and couldn't have got good enough and still can't. It's not what we do, it's what he's done. Don't ever forget it. You say, well, I thought I was supposed to live a good life. You are. You're supposed to do everything God gives you grace to do. Live a separated, dedicated, loving God, loving your fellow men, loving your saints, loving the children of God. Everything you can do, but still, the only thing to get condemnation off of me is trust in Jesus Christ. Condemnation. Well, I'm going to get into the heart of what I want to say here. Hallelujah. I like what he said. I want to start verse number 28. Done read it one time. All things work together for good of them. Love God. Are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow,
He also predestinated. You see, God's got a foreknowledge. Did you know? I'll have to just meditate on things like this. God knew me before I was ever born. He knew me. Well, just want to back up far enough before the foundation of the world. Now let that blow your mind. God's got a foreknowledge. And he said, who he foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Now what did God predestinate us to do and be? He's conforming us into the image of his son. And you know what he's doing? He's working us, molding us, and shaping us. Amen. And conforming us. See, he's got a son that's perfect. And we have a lot of imperfections. But he's foreordained. He's predestinated. And says he's going to take you and he's going to take me. And he's going to conform us into his son's image. So I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what the devil's trying to tell you how. Listen, won't never happen. It will happen. One day we'll be just like him. You say, well, he likes a lot on me. He likes a lot on me too, but he's still working on me. He's still conforming me. And like what John, the little book of 1 John says, we know he shall appear, we should be like him, but we shall see him as he is. And when we see him as he is, listen, the conforming will be finished. Because he'll be conformed, completely like him. Because we shall be like him. What a Savior. What a glorious thought. So he's conforming us. You say, well, I'm having a hard time. I just want to just throw it in the towel and quit sometime. No, no. Hey. What if we sing in that song, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith? It's a fight all the way. Amen? But just don't ever forget one thing. God's conforming you. Oh, I know what the devil will tell you. He'll say, if you make a mistake, you say, well, I didn't think I'd ever do that again. I didn't think I'd ever think that again. I didn't think I'd ever say that again. I'm going to tell you something. The devil will say, you might well throw in the towel and quit. No, God's working on us. Press on. Go on. Press on for the glory of God. And I'm going to tell you something. God is interested in you. He's interested in me. He won't leave us nor forsake us. He never will. He's going to conform us in with his son that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We ought to be like him, glory to God. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And one day we'll be like him. He's conforming us into his image. See, verse 30 said, moreover, whom he predestinated, them he also called. Them he called, also justified. Has God ever called you? It's the only way you're going to get in. You heard the voice of God? Oh, I'm not talking about a voice coming across the sky or down from the sky. I'm talking about God speaking to that inner man. That inner, still, small voice. You remember one of the prophets was in the cave? Was it storm come by, lightning came by, wind came by? God wasn't even in that. But he heard a what? Small, still voice speaking to him. God's still calling. I want to tell you something. He's got a strong call. Come. What he said in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me all that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. And you shall find rest unto your soul. He's saying, come. He's calling. He's calling.
I like verse 31 of 8th chapter of Romans. Said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Can I tell you something? God's on our side. And he's for us. If he's for us, it don't matter who's against us. They're losers. You know why we're a winner? Amen. He is. We're on the winning side. God's a winner. And he's for us. Did you know it's a marvelous, wonderful thing? I don't know about you. I think about a lot of these verses, lots, to know that wherever I go, whatever I do, God's with me. Because he said he would never leave me, would never forsake me. If God's for me, who can be against you? He said, look at all them numbers against me. What does that make no difference? God didn't go out and fight battles. He didn't want a bunch of numbers, no way. He made some of them armies cut them down. You got too many. You think you're doing it yourself. God said he's for us. If you leave here today, get hold of that one thing. God's for me. You ever seen a normal parent that wasn't for his children? I ain't. They want the best for them. They want to protect it. They want them. They want to see the tucked in bed at night. Now, I'm not saying all of them is that way now in this day and hour, but I'm just saying that's a good pair. That's one it ought to be. But I'm telling you, we got a good God. Amen. We got a good God. And he's for us. I'm glad he is. He's for me. He is for me. My Lord is. Hey, that's God. He said he's for me. And therefore, who can be against me? Verse 32 said he spared not his own son, but delivered it up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? No telling how many times I've shared that verse or quoted it. Now, how does he give us all these things? With him. I just already mentioned that all of these things are in Christ Jesus. God's love is in him. If we're in Christ, nothing can separate us from the love of God. You know what? If it could, and it can't, that would be saying to us that he didn't love his own son. But we in Christ, he loves us, we're his sons, and we're brothers and heirs and joint heirs, and that's in you, with Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So we see. Verse, I already said there weren't no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 30. Look at verse number 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's no charge. Somebody may come up to you and try to charge you and tell you, hey, look at all those sins you got piled up. You can say to them, there ain't no sins piled up on me. He took them off. He washed them in the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. There's no charge against them that's in Christ Jesus. Our sins are gone. Washed us in the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes we may not forget some things, but thank God he does. If somebody try to remember your past, the devil tries to remind you of your past. Tell you what you do. Just remind him of his future. And say, your future looked dark and bad because you know, we know where you headed. And God took my past away and I know where I'm going. You say you have to talk to him, you better talk to him. better rebuke him in the name of the Lord and say, get out of here, Satan, resist him. Because he'll torment you like everything you've never seen. He'll torment you on and on and on. But thank God, Jesus has taken away our sins and Jesus has set us free. Hallelujah. Therefore, there's no charge. No charge. No charges. What happened to them? They got all dropped. I used to be packed up with them. If you was headed to the courts, stand before the judge, and he got up there and he said, what's the charges? And he gone. He says, wipe them off. I'm going to tell you something. God is the one that wipes them off. The same one that we'll have to stand before one day and meet it. Listen, even as Christians, the judgment seat of Christ. But he said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we can stand there, listen, and not be condemned. Why? Because condemnation has been taken off because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no condemnation on, listen, to us in Christ Jesus, the first verse I read in this chapter. And there's no charge against us. It's been gone, thank God. There's no charges. Sometimes we may get a warning. Have you ever been stopped and maybe you're speeding a little? Officer said, I'm not gonna charge you today. I'm not gonna give you a ticket. I'm just gonna warn you. Well, we don't have no charges against us either. But I tell you what, God'll do. We get a little cold and callous and get a little out of his will. Listen, he'll warn us. He will. He'll warn us. How many if you go down the road, I see we got some law officers here today. Let me go down the road. If you see a light flashing, do you check your feet under and see if he's speeding? You ever done that? Come on, be honest. I have. It's just automatic in everybody. I got stopped on interstate one time going 65 miles an hour. He said, 65? I said, yeah, but the speed limit wasn't 55. I didn't like the speed limit, but I was in a hurry to get to Pensacola and get back at night for service, but I'll tell you what, when that patrolman got through with me, I didn't say it on 55 or get back or not. He didn't give me a ticket either, but he warned me. And he got on me double worse when I told him I was going down to visit somebody from the church, and he found out I was preaching, and he double got me. I felt about that high. You know what? I was following two other cars. He let them go immediately and then kept me for a pretty good little bit. I said that to say yes, God will warn us. But you know what I thought about later? He might have stopped me on purpose. Can't ever tell what will happen down the road. See, God works the mind in different ways, and it'll slow you down a while. So God's got some warnings, but he didn't charge me. Didn't give me a ticket. And you know what? And he said there's no charge. No charge against the saint of God. So thank God, the judge of this universe, judge of all, listen, because of Christ, because I'm in Christ, and if you're in Christ this morning, he'll say, swipe her clean. No charge. Not that we hadn't sinned. Not that we hadn't done wrong. Not that we listened, but thank God he's forgiven us. Wiped our slate clean. There's no charge against us. Thank
Thank God. Now, I want you to notice verse 34. It's a message after message right here, but I'm going to just get a highlight. So, who is this? Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Folks, he's the only one that could. But thank God, I'm going to tell you something. Why are we not condemned? He died for us. He died for us. Folks, that's not all. He's risen again. Not only did he die for us, but he's alive. That's the reason I'm not got no charge on me. That's the reason I'm not condemned. He died for me. He rose again. And that's not all. He's sitting at the right hand of God. That's another reason I'm not condemned. That's another one. And it's, listen, there's one more in that verse. If you look at it, look what it says. Also maketh intercession for us. See four things in there. He died for me. He rose again for me. And he's sitting at the right hand of God. And he's making intercession for me. He's praying for us, his saints, and his children. I want to thank God for that. Hallelujah. And so you know what? You know why? We can be overcomers in the midst of all that we're living in. Just like you read, we read some more of this, you'll see how they were overcomers. They weren't condemned. They weren't charged. And how that God, in it through his son, died for us. He rose again. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father and making intercession for us. That's my Lord. Look what he said. Then he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, tribulation not going to do it. Tribulation not going to separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ. You said, God don't quit loving us just because you're going through trouble. You know, a lot of times the devil will tell you if you're going through some hard times and going through some trouble and tribulation, he'll tell you, or even through sickness and health or whatever it might be, he'll tell you, well, God don't love you. I'm going to tell you something. That don't separate the love of God from you. Won't do it. Tribulation won't do it. Distress won't do it. You ever been distressed? Stressed? Pressure? Hey. Or persecution? That don't separate God's love from you. I'm going to tell you something. God knows how much you can bear. And I'm going to tell you something. With the temptation, he knows what you can be tested with. He knew Job just as sure as everything. Amen? And listen. He knows what you can bear. With temptation, make a way to escape. So the love of God still are. So don't ever forget, whatever you're going through with, God still loves you. You cannot be said. He won't separate that love from us. You may fail him. You may fall, stumble. But I'm going to tell you something. He still loves you. And he's right there to pick you up. Yeah, pick me up. What about famine? People go through famines, go through needs in different areas. Does that mean God don't love you? No. What about nakedness? Not having enough to even wear? That don't say that. That's not saying God don't love you. Or pearl or sword? What if he even had to give you life? What if your life's, listen, taken? Does that mean God don't love you? No, God still loves you. Look what he said. As written, for thy sake we're killed all day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I ain't going to be more than a conqueror. Thank God for being a conqueror. He said more than a conqueror. Way up on top of it. Not under the circumstance, under the situation, but on top, more than a conqueror, victorious in our wonderful Lord. And it's all how? Through him that loved us. I want to tell you something. When you love somebody, you'll go to the last extent or mile to try to help them. Won't you? Through him that loved us, we're more than conquerors. Hey. Amen. Have you said? Look at verse number 38. I'm almost through. For I am persuaded that neither death. Now, Paul was persuaded. He wasn't thinking or hoping or maybe so. He was persuaded. He was really persuaded. Here it is. That neither death. Death. Death not going to separate us. I mentioned a while ago. It's going to usher into his presence. You know what I read one time where one that was fixing to be martyred said? You know what he told him? You know what he told him when he was fixing to burn him at the stake? He said, that's okay. You just fixing to usher me right on into his presence. He said, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could either. But that's what he told him. He said, you just fixing to usher me. Death's not going to separate me from the love of God. Neither will it you. He said, it's going to usher me into his presence. So death, nor life. Life sometimes is full of heartaches, burdens, sorrow, sadness, sickness, loss of loved ones, loss of friends. A lot of heartaches and a lot of things that happen in this life. Disappointments. And things come our way. But you know what? The writer of this book says, not going to separate me. Life's not. Life reminds me when I think about Job. Job went through awful, terrible things, if you want to say it that way. Things that Job went through with. That was things present. Life. Then he said, "Our prince, angels, none, not even the fallen angels, separate us from the love of God. Principalities and powers, no matter how powerful the enemy comes against you, not going to separate us from the love of God. Nor things present." That's one thing that started to say Job went by. Job went through. Things that was right, he went through with right then. Those things does not separate us from the love of God. You know what Job went through. Lost everything he had. His wife told him to curse God and die. He said, "You speak as a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That was the things present right then that was happening to him. That he said, and God's telling us those things can't separate us from the love of God. God loved him just as much before he started through it as he did afterwards. Loved him as much afterwards as he did before. Loved him all the way through it. And Job knew that. And Job said, I'm not going to curse him and I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm going to keep serving him and loving him, trusting him. And Job did. What did God do? Brought him through it. Blessed him again. That many children, all of his abundance, blesses of flock and everything else. God really blessed him. Amen. He did. Then he said something else. Not only the things that you're presently going through with right now, but you know these things to come. Think about that a moment. Things to come. I'm going to tell you. Don't worry about the things to come. Because God's still going to love you whatever comes. But I said that to say this. I thought about another two. One of them was Elijah. You know what? Was it Jezebel told Elijah? You know, he slew them prophets. And she said, "I'll tell you something." She sent him word or something, told him. I hadn't read that in a while, but I'll tell you what. She said to him, "About this time tomorrow," said, "you're going to be like the other." He'd slain them. She was telling him, "By this time tomorrow, you're going to be slain." Well, he took out. Well, you don't blame him, do you? Let me tell you what God did. This is why we don't need to worry about something what somebody says. I worry about something that might be, could be, may not never happen, probably won't never happen. You've heard that old saying. But you know what? I think about this. You know what happened to Elijah? He didn't get his head. God took him out of here in a chariot of fire. Took him on. So you know what? He was thinking about something and took off and concerned about it that didn't happen. So I'm saying, not only things present you're going through with right now, but you may be sometime getting in a condition of thought about, what if this happened? What if this comes to pass? What am I going to do? Oh, no, no. No, quit worrying about that. Let's trust the Lord. Let's trust him. It's another verse. I can't tell you exactly where it is. But the psalmist David was running. And he thought Paul was going to get him. Saul, I mean. He really did. He thought he was going to be killed. Well, that Saul was at him. Tried to kill him. But you know what? God still loved him. And I want to tell you something, God had a purpose for David. He was the least among his dead boys, just keeping the sheep. Matter of fact, he wasn't in there when the prophet was looking for somebody to anoint to be king. But the prophet knew that he wasn't there. He must have another son somewhere. Where, you got any more? Yeah, he's out keeping the flock. Go get him. Guess what? Young and Rudy. Youngest one, wasn't he? Guess who God chose? Old David. Did. Then he got to the place before he ever got to the king. Oh, Saul. I believe Saul knew his days were numbered. Saul was big, tall, higher than most all the men, taller. But you know what counts? Not how big and tall we are physically. It's God that counts. It's God. It's God that counts. And so David, afraid that God would, I mean, he got afraid of Saul. Saul was going to take his life. And he ran. But guess what? Weren't long. He was on the king. He was a king. Setting him as a king himself. You see what I'm saying? See what God's saying? Things present that you may be going through with now. Maybe things that you fear, things that you're concerned about, or too concerned about, or things that you don't dread, or things you don't have a clear understanding, worried about what might happen. Just remember, all things work together for good of them that love God, called according to his purpose. What if old Joseph had he gotten disheartened? He had a dream. He had a dream. Boy, it didn't look like no dreams coming to pass to start with, did it? He went through some things present and went through some things that, listen, God told him in that dream what he was going to do, and he was over there and, listen, wound up in prison. All the time, God was working it out. Working it out. You don't never know. And sometimes we might never know some things that we may go through and why we at a certain place at a certain time or something happens on, we could name it. But I'm telling you, it is for a purpose. Believe God. Sure does, I tell you. So there's no charge against God's children in Christ. There's no condemnation to God's children. Thank God, there's no separation. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. You said, I've been worried about being separated from the love of God. Stop it. You in Christ, you can forget it. I don't know about you, it feels pretty good. Particularly at night when you, maybe a long nerve, just you and God. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But know that one thing, the love of God. Hallelujah. It reaches higher than the highest mountain. Goes deeper than the deepest seas. The love of God. What wonderful, marvelous it is. And thank God there's nothing separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I can assure you, I'm not going to quit loving His Son. He didn't quit loving Him on Calvary. When He suffered there and bled and died and took your sins and mine. Then He didn't quit loving. He didn't quit loving Him. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, why would you want to reject the gift of God? Did you know eternal life's a gift? It's a gift from God. It is. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't ever get good enough for it. A lot of people don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. You know it's so. It is the truth. Only reason we can have it. Listen, because of His goodness and His grace brings us that gift. You ever read the sign, the verse we got on the sign out there? Is it Romans 6? 23? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Don't stop there, does it? What's the rest of it say, Brother Dunn? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Why does He give us a gift? It's all because of Him. You said, who's He giving it to? I'll tell you who He's giving it to. Them that He calls and them that repents and believes. Romans 10:9-1, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's got a gift. And you read the book of Romans chapter 5 sometime. I challenge you to read it. Over and over it talks about it. The gift, the free gift. Gift, free gift. It's a gift of God. By one man's sin, death entered into the world. By one man's death and resurrection, that's Jesus Christ, life came. I was reading over in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. I think Deuteronomy 29:29, you know what it says? It said, the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things that reveal, listen, belong to us and to our children. Forever. A little bit more of that verse. I can't tell you the rest of it right now. But read Deuteronomy 29:29 sometime. I hadn't read it in a while. I read that. I said, glory to God. Somebody said, I'm going to tell you something. God's still got some secrets. He ain't told everything. But He's got some things He's revealed to us. And we've got a book full of them over there. Word of God. But somebody says, is that all God knows? No, God just tells us what He wants us to know. But the secret things belong to God. But the things that are revealed belong to us. And I like that part. And to our children. Don't keep them from your children. You know what sometimes I think about? Brother Bill and Brother Don and some of you preachers. I think about, and God ain't never left himself without a witness. Boy, I think about sometimes, in another generation or two, are we going to have, if Jesus tarries, are we going to have still some people from our children, some children, grandchildren, going to go on with God? Folks, we better be concerned about it and get the word of God to our children and young people. Because if the Lord tarries, this old boy will be around always. Neither will these other preachers. Time gets us. But you know what? We need to realize that it is for us. And not us only, but for our children. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't what? Depart from it. You may wander and stray a little, and somehow. Some of us, and we did. I strained up the right way. I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. Tuck the church. But you know what? I'm old now, and I ain't parted. I believe that verse is right. No, I hadn't departed from it. Hallelujah. Say, I want to encourage you. Whatever present that you may be going through with, whatever may in the past or the present and or the future you may be worried about, just remember, God said all things. See, all things. If you read that whole chapter of 8, starts off with no condemnation, winds up in the last with no separation, and along in the middle it says, listen, all things work together for good them that love God. Everything in that chapter, not only that chapter, but every rest of it, all that he said works. All things work together. Together. For good. You're going to make something, you're going to make a dish or something. I don't know nothing about cooking. I've seen a lot of it going. But I tell you what, you can put all the different stuff in there and you got to stir it up, mix it up all together. It's working together. Boy, when it comes out, it's good. But separate and take one at a time wouldn't be too good, would it? That's the way it is with things that we go through in this life. They hurt sometimes, just one of them. Put them all together. It's working. It's working for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. Now I say in closing, God's got a purpose for your life. That's what I always say. Find out that purpose by the grace of God, and purpose in your heart that you're going to fulfill that purpose for the glory of God. Do it. Do it. You won't never be sorry. My heart gets heavy sometimes. And I don't mind telling you. You know what it gets heavy over? I see so many people wasting their life away. They work just like all of us have done. We ought to work. Don't work, we'll not eat. You know that. But at the same time, take no time for God. And we all got some in our own families does that. It's sad. Put everything in the world before him. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come down to the end of the way, there ain't nothing going to matter. First of all, that you're right with God. And then what have we done with our life? I like what the book of James, 5th chapter says. What is your life? I preached on that at the funerals before. What is your life? Number one. Second thing, what's your death like? Charles Haddon Spurgeon said in their church over 100 years ago, and no preacher, one of the best. Somebody said to him, said, notice your people die well. He said, yeah, they do. He said, you know why? He said, they live well. You know what? They got that life of Christ. The life of Christ. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, me to live is Christ. See, me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Swing wide them gates. I'm coming home. If you live for Christ, listen, to die just be gain. To die would be far better if you live for Him. Don't waste your life. Don't waste it. Hey. I was looking around. There's a lady come up to us the other night. Me and Christy was at Waffle House after prayer meeting. She lives right close by. She's got 3 kids. Said she's going to try to bring them. But you know what? Hadn't said anything to her about the Lord, but she walked up. I don't even know how she knew who it was. But she came up and said, what time's your church? But God dwelt a hold of my heart again. He said, son, there's a lot of hands hunger. They wanting somebody to love them. Wanting somebody to invite them to church. She come up and almost invited herself. You said, I'm going to find out exactly where she lives. Somewhere around here, right in this house. A trailer somewhere in it. And walk. Said, I can walk up there. I see people walking to work. Folks, everybody ain't been blessed as good as we have. But if they can walk, we can go pick them up. Let's get them, folks. But God said to me, while she was talking, said there are multitudes out here, just go after them. I thought to myself, how long has it been since we knocked on all the doors? How long has it been since we went from door to door? Well, there, we've done it before. And knock on them doors. You say, well, might not nobody come. We still invite them. Tell them we love them. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Wants them to come. But there's some people just like her. So I want you to help me pray for her. That she'll come. Bring those kids. I'm going to tell you what I don't want to see. I don't want to see anybody die lost. When I was a teenager, I dreamed I died and went to hell. Awfulest dream ever had. Worst nightmare and dream I've ever had before or since. Woke up weeping, crying. But you know what? I never got over it. Guess who? What the preacher's preaching. God knew what he was doing. Night I walked down an old sawdust trail. Some of you heard this many times, but I feel like sharing it again. You know what he was preaching on? Hell. I saw myself plunging into that deep, dark ball of fire, darkness for eternity. God let me see it. Shook me over it. And that night, took that burden of sin off me. Thank God I've been rejoicing, Brother Billy, ever since. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So don't spend all... Listen, I spend a lot of energy doing a lot of things. But I still try to get a little Lord in there. Amen? Praise God. Hardly ever, never a day go, don't hardly go by. I don't get to run into somebody somewhere that I get to talk to about the Lord. Invite us some more. Got to talk some more in the grocery store. You say, that's a place to go buy groceries. Well, it is a good place to talk to people about the Lord, too. Amen. Got some more pretty good promises. So I want to challenge you. God loves you, but He loves them out yonder, too. And He wants them in. He wants to use us. The church is, what's the church for? Not, it's good, it's for us to come worship and praise Him. Don't get me wrong. Thank God for it. I love it. But the church is a place to be a place of, listen, rescue people. A place that people can come find help in a time of need. A place that people can come, get their needs met, and the burdens relieved and taken away. And so we need to be that kind that God wants us to be. Amen. So as we leave this morning, we will stand and sing. Brother Larry leads us in a song. Let's stand and sing.